Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Lenny McAllister filling in for Marty Griffin until 12 noon, and then it will be Michael Bartley. But all of us, whether it's Michael Bartley on Saturdays, me on Sundays, Marty Monday through Friday, or the others that you listen to here at News Radio KDKA, remember, as always, you can listen to all of us at 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, but also on the Odyssey app. Spelled out, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y. A-U-D-A-C-Y. But you can also watch us online, as you can right now, with our KDKA video stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to kdkaradio.com and click on Watch KDKA Radio Live Stream. Or, of course, now you can just go to KDKA Radio and go to our YouTube page and watch everything that we are doing in the studios, which may both thrill you or terrify you, or anything in between, because we try to entertain. And it's no longer the theater of the mind, because you can go onto the YouTube page, or you can go on the Odyssey app, or you can go online and stream us. And so the theater of the mind is kind of on a screen too. Oh, technology these days. 866-391-1020. Again, we can be reflective and still smile and be grateful and enjoy Memorial Day, even as we also have to make sure that we're also remembering why this day was here, starting back all the way back to the shadows of the Civil War, and remembering those that gave their lives to keep this country together and to end the horrible institution of slavery, all the way to people that are trying to ensure that America stays free today. 866-391-1020. Cynthia in Florida, you're on KDK.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard you talking about the Hollywood movies. My husband's relative, James Harvey, was the Red Tail, and he and four others won the first Top Gun competition.
Wow.
Hollywood will never show you that. James is still alive. He's 101. And he was so disappointed that no airline would hire him after he left his service. So how my people have been treated. I saw Hegseth over the weekend. It just disgusted me. But how my people, our people, have been treated in wars we have been in. Nazi POWs were treated better than black veterans. My father was in military base in Alabama. He was told if he went off the base, he would probably be killed. And if he did, don't wear a uniform. My father refused to serve. And he said, throw me in the brig. They gave him an honorable discharge because they knew he was right. And my dad went on to be a freedom rider for years. And
to that point, Cynthia, and before you go on, I mean, people forget, we talk about American heroes. People forget the part about the Jackie Robinson biography, mm-hmm. where he got in trouble in the military because he was not going to bow down to segregation. So, I mean, there's this complexity, and I brought this up over the course of the show that I've been on today since 5:30, that there are these rubs in American history where there were people that were in the military defending a country that not that long mm-hmm. ago, and in this instance, it's African-Americans, that not that long ago was discriminating against them, and there they sit in uniform.
And they came back and couldn't avail themselves of the GI loans that pulled everybody else.
In World War II, and it's ironic, I wrote about that in a Venn diagram of one. I talked about how we have to be a more perfect union, and people forget about the discrepancies that came about as a result of that.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I did read some time ago. The first Memorial Day was commemorated by former enslaved black people who reburied people in the South who were killed by the Confederates. Is that true?
That is very true. I mean, there are two holidays.
Okay.
There are two holidays that we now celebrate in America as federal holidays that came about as a result of 1865. One is Juneteenth. The other is Memorial Day, which used to be called Decoration Day. Both were started as a result of the African-American tradition, where African-Americans celebrated the end of the Civil War and the end of slavery. So, yes, that is a true story. It's not a very well-known story, just the same as the Red Tail story that you talk about. But this goes back to, Cynthia, our inability and our unwillingness to teach American history in its fullness, because we don't want to deal with the complexity and nuances of American history. Yes, you got to talk about slavery, but it's not as though every white person around the United States during that time hated black people and wanted them to be enslaved. Obviously, there was an abolitionist movement. Exactly. So it's the same thing.
And we should be celebrating more John Browns. Where's his holiday?
Well, and you could talk about the 1900s and the civil rights movement of the 20th century. But it's very, as you well know, and others out there well know as well, it takes a level of intentionality and care and patience to teach through the nuances of human history, much less American history, which is the only real national history that has all these traditions being jumbled in all at once, all on top of each other in a pretty rapid period of time. Usually you hear about these national histories of other nations. One, they're much older than us. But number two, you talk about immigrants. They come in different types of waves. Whereas in America, over the course of 250 years, it's almost like an Oprah Winfrey show where it's like, you get some immigrants and you bring some immigrants and you bring some immigrants and you jam them all into this one spot and say, okay, there's only 100 jobs. Go at it. So now you have people fighting for jobs, fighting for apartments, fighting for a way of life. And sometimes that brings out the best in us. And sometimes it brings out the worst in us. And it takes a level of patience to talk through all that.
And those waves of immigrants in more recent years have come here because of our regime change war. So the Bolivians will be next. And these wars were started by chicken hawks who never lifted a rifle, but advocate for war all the time.
And Cynthia, I appreciate your call. That's the epitome of also what Memorial Day is. I mentioned this earlier on the show as well. Wars are started by politicians looking at maps, looking at advantages. They're usually wearing suits. They're fought by people wearing fatigues and military uniforms. The wars are usually started by people carrying briefcases, reading policy briefs. The wars are fought by people carrying weapons, firing bullets. Wars are usually started by people running the situation. The people fighting the wars are usually running to the firefights or running away from the firefights. They're doing the dance of how to win the war. They're trying to secure the peace that politicians sometimes break, and sometimes mend through their words and their actions. But today's the day to think about the people on those battlefields that didn't leave those battlefields. And there are people, Mike on the north side, I'll get to you in a second, I promise. There are people that may have died a couple of years afterwards because of an injury that they suffered on the battlefield. They still never left the battlefield. We have veterans that died of drug overdosing after being in war, died of suicide after being in war, because their minds never left the battlefield. There are many, many ways that we lost lives through war. And on a day like today, it's our obligation to honor them, not just by remembering them, but also, it's our obligation to honor them by making sure we're the right type of American, the right type of leaders, the right type of citizens moving forward, so that we don't ask as many Americans to make that ultimate sacrifice. It's something we can do together. And as we honor the dead, it's our obligation to make sure that we exemplify the best of and for American life moving forward. 866-391-1020. Lenny McAllister filling in for Marty Griffin. Coming back after the break here on News Radio KDK. Attention! 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 There has been a Michael Bartley sighting. I don't want to alarm you, nor do I want to excite you too fast, because he will not officially be here until noon. But I think it's official. Casey, is it official? Has there been an official Michael Bartley sighting at News Radio KDK? Can you confirm or deny that report?
There wasn't just a sighting. You could hear him.
Oh, wow. It's not just a sighting, it's a hearing. Not the kind of hearing you're scared of, by the way. The courts are closed today. It's a sighting and a hearing, but a good hearing. Michael Bartley, the one and only Greenfield Man of the Year. Which, listen, I tease him about that, but he's a fantastic person. He is, you know, you all know him from here, but a lot of you also know him from QED. I got a chance to first meet him at QED, and you can't tell him this on the air because he'll sit there and be like, oh, you're just trying to be a certain way. But it's true. That dude was so smooth when I first met him on QED. And of course, I'm a yutz, so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, this is the one time I'll ever meet this dude. He's really smooth. He's really good at what he does. But this will be the one time I meet him. God has a way, because lo and behold, he's a colleague of mine. He's a wonderful guy. I get a chance to see him off, and he was kind enough to have me on his show yesterday. And you're going to have the honor and the pleasure of spending 5 hours with him today. So there has been a Michael Bartley sighting and hearing, but not that type of hearing, here at News Radio KDK.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Up at the top of the hour. In the meanwhile, it's still me, Lenny McAllister, finishing up this hour, filling in for Marty Griffin after filling in for Larry Richard, both wonderful people, both icons at this station. And both are going to probably ask me why I didn't go to the phone line sooner at 866-391-1020. So I don't want to go through that. I just want to go to the phone lines. Ergo, I'm going to Mike on the north side. Mike, you're on KDK.
Yes, Lenny. Thank you very much for all the hours you put in today. I really appreciate your talk and your topic. So really quick, I just want to be thankful and grateful to all the Americans that have served and the ones that have died to make this country great. I can say I'm a first-generation immigrant, the legal way, the right way, the long process way. My parents came here in the late 80s when I was 7 years old. We're very grateful to all the Americans, all the generations of Americans that have passed away to make this country what it is. Yes, every country has its flaws. I mean, America was never perfect from the beginning. It had its sins, and it still does. And, I mean, it's still one of the greatest countries in the world, even though it has had a rough history, and maybe it will, but it's still the number one, the most desired country to be at. So I want to thank all the Americans, like your parents' generation, your grandparents' generation, all those Americans that made the opportunity for us immigrants to come here legally. Thank you very much.
Mike, appreciate your phone call, and dare I say, I know this might be controversial to some, no lies detected. The bottom line is, yes, this country still has its flaws. But if you look at the combination of culture, people, geopolitical might, geoeconomic might, military might, education, academic opportunities, business opportunities, rich history, influence on the world, and diversity, it is the greatest nation on the planet. It's not the most perfect nation on the planet. It's not the happiest nation on the planet. If you go look at the polls, it's not the most educated nation on the planet. We need to fix that. If you look at the polling, if you look at the numbers. But when you put all of the different considerations together, it is the greatest nation on the planet. It is, dare I say, the greatest nation in history. Based on its accomplishments, its rapid rise over 250 years, its ability to advance despite being in its own way, despite having tragic flaws baked into the cake from the very beginning, despite fighting itself over and over and over again. Again, as I taught kids when I was an adjunct professor at La Roche University, the Civil War was fought between 1861 and 1865. The Civil War was going on from 1776 to 1860 and then led to an all-out war. The Missouri Compromise led to bloodshed. Expansion westward and the battle between slavery and free states led to bloodshed. You know, the Klan didn't just lynch black folks. They didn't like Catholics. They didn't like Jews. They didn't like immigrants either. We have been the greatest nation in spite of ongoing squabbling, bickering, and all-out war amongst ourselves. And to Mike's point, there were people as recently as his generation, 1980s, that said, we want to go to America. America's the best place for us. There are people that are still making that decision from Central America and Northern South America and Southern North America. There are people that are still making that decision because America is that place. And people died for America to be that place. A place where you can be a more perfect union. Where you can admit your flaws and continue to try to improve. That's something for us to remember today. Mike, thank you for your phone call. Others, 866-391-1020. I'm taking your phone calls for another half an hour. And then I'm relinquishing the microphone to the one and only Michael Bartley. But in the meanwhile, catch the news, catch back up to me, hit me up with a phone call, 866-391-1020. Lenny McAllister filling in for Marty here on News Radio, KDKA. Again, I'm out of here at the top of the hour. Lenny McAllister filling in for Marty Griffin until noon, and then Michael Bartley will be here. Casey, you're of a certain age. Let me ask you this question, because one of our callers brought this up earlier, and I kind of wanted to get your perspective on this, because I see it, but I don't see it. You know, when you think about a day like Memorial Day, what goes through your mind?
Well, probably some my pap, because I would spend most Memorial Days with my pap, because my pap, I don't have a lot of immediate family, and my pap is the only one that is a veteran. He was in the Marines, he went to Vietnam. So, you know, he's big day for him, for sure. So, he goes through my mind pretty much in general, I'd say, because that's just my only connection to it.
So, do you feel like your generation gets a day like Memorial Day? Because I have to admit, you know, all you're going to have a bunch of Gen Xers calling here, and even some, the boomers not as much because they had to grow up with Vietnam and they saw all that. But Gen Xers, I mean, the threat of nuclear war was a real threat of nuclear war, but it was still, you know, theoretical. It was still not a bunch of people shooting guns at each other like it was during Vietnam. So it's a little different for Gen Xers. So a lot of these Gen Xers may be calling in here, Casey, and acting as if they were all patriotic at 14 years old and they understood the meaning of Memorial Day. No, they understood that they can go to Kennywood that weekend. They understood that they can cook out that weekend. You started seeing a little bit of that eroding starting with Gen Xers. But I got to ask, you know, what do you think your generation thinks about when they think about a day like Memorial Day, which is much different than the 4th of July or Labor Day?
I mean, my generation in general, in speaking in general, probably thinks more of it as just a, you know, start of summer holiday, like you were saying, just because, you know, like prior generations, we've had, you know, battles going on other, you know, whether it was, you know, Afghanistan growing up, or even you could even say right now Iran. It's not really, you know, war and yet total battle, but a few soldiers have died, but it's nothing like say the Cold War or Vietnam or anything like that. And so I just don't think there's going to be as much, in at least in my generation, of that really personal connection to it.
Do you think that you all are fatigued by it? I mean, I bring this up all the time with your generation, you know, and I have kids. I have two children that are older than you, but the second one's close to your age or close-ish to your age, and then the other two are younger than you. But here's the thing. Since 2001, this country has had to deal with 9/11, the Iraq War, Great Recession, the whole Russian aggression with Ukraine, part one, and then part two, and then ISIS, and then Iran, and then the cyber attack with Iran. And then, you know, after that, we had to deal with what's now going on in the Middle East. And there's been a lot of conflict that you all have had to deal with, including military action, for 25 years, which covers the span of your life. Do you feel like there's fatigue or cynicism? What do you think is going on with your generation that may make it react the way that it's been reacting collectively?
I think that's part of it. I think also a big part of it might be the rise of digital media and digital platforms, because you just see so much more every day of everything, you know, going on in the world. And whether that be all these conflicts or just stuff going on in our own country, where it then Memorial Day will come around and it's almost just feels, I don't know, like another Monday, I guess, for some, because, like you said, there might be just that fatigue because there's been so many conflicts, and because of the rise of digital platforms, you are involved and you see every second of it.
Let me ask you this question, if I may. Because you talked about technology, and this is what sparked in my mind. Do you think it makes a difference, Casey, that, you know, most of the footage you see of war is analog? It's either black and white or colorized through some technology, or it's, you know, technicolor when you start talking about the Vietnam War. And it can make it seem as though those conflicts, those wars happened a long, long time ago. And once you do that, it's very easy to make historical figures very two-dimensional and forget about their humanity, versus something that you see online, even a reality show. They look like real human beings, even if they're playing a role, because it's in color, it's in 4K, it's in your face, it's on your phone, and it's very easy to relate to that person that way. But when you see the footage from 60, 70 years ago, it just seems so dated. Do you think that the technology has a role in how people relate to it these days?
Yeah, I mean, especially because, I mean, I'm only, 4 years removed from high school and all of then K-12 education. And in history in general, in those classes, any wartime footage, we wouldn't see new footage from, like you said, whether it be Iraq or if it's anything in Russia, it'd be old stuff. And obviously it's not in the entire realm of history, and even you could say the United States, it's not that long ago, but it just feels so long because a lot more conflicts have happened since then, and just because of how much there's been an improvement in technology in this last century, where 50 years ago, video quality was, like you said, it could still be black and white or technicolor and you're grainy. And now any videos, they're, I mean, you could put it in VR and it's like you're there.
Yeah.
4K.
Exactly. Let me ask you, you're done with school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What was your major?
News and sports communication.
Okay. So there's been a shift even in how war and wartime activity and even build up to wartime activity is reported then versus now. I mean, you would probably have studied this, but I lived through it. I remember the months-long buildup to Desert Storm. I remember Desert Shield. Do you remember Desert Shield?
Not really.
Okay, that's my point. So there was a reported buildup from August of 1990, I believe it was. I might be mixing up my years. But the summer before Desert Storm was 1991, January 1991. In fact, I know it was. And therefore, you had this months long buildup called Desert Shield. And then when the flip switch happened, it became Desert Storm. You didn't quite get that feel, particularly from World War II. The ramp up into Vietnam had its own controversies to it, and we had so many things going on domestically. From somebody that studied this in school, what do you think the difference is in how we report on war and memorialize those that have fallen then versus now that may impact how we consume that information as a society?
Yeah, it's just really, really interesting. I mean, and like I said before, just the way, even in the last 10 years, how then now social, you had the rise of digital media in general. Last 10 years, it's the rise of social media. So now it's an everyday thing. It's an every minute thing. So,
hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't really have that buildup like that because you're just constantly in the loop. There's no real buildup anymore because it's just an everyday thing. It's just part of a daily cycle. It's not building up to anything, really.
Last question, then I'll let you go and I'll go to break and I'll get ready to get out of here. You know, you're going into this field. So you're not only an emerging American because you're a recent college graduate, you're 22 years old, you're starting your adult life now. So there's obviously that part of it. But because of your major, you're going to have a unique obligation to report and reflect the types of things that are going on in our society. As you do that, what types of things do you think that your generation and your cohort are going to have to focus on when it comes to the issues of war, the issues of these conflicts moving forward, so that we can not only honor those that are putting themselves on the line for us, but also, unfortunately, those that may end up giving their lives as well?
I think part of it is, you know, is this conflict worth happening right now? Is future conflicts, can they be avoided? Because obviously, you know, the veterans and the ones in the armed forces, they make that sacrifice, they choose to make that sacrifice, but we don't want them to have to make that sacrifice if they don't have to. And so all the information has to be put out there where, okay, does this conflict need to happen? Do our soldiers need to perhaps die right now for whatever the conflict is happening? And that's going to be something that has to be covered. And And it also comes back to their families at home and what those conflicts are doing to their families. Are they fighting for something? Because obviously when they go out there and they put on their uniform and they go into battle, they're thinking about who they have at home most of the time. And so we have to make sure that the people back home that they're fighting for, that it's worth it for them.
And that's interesting you bring that up, Casey, because that's a dynamic of journalism that you didn't really have during World War II. You kind of maybe had, but media was still new during the Korean conflict slash war. But by the time you got to Vietnam, you had that open questioning by everybody from Dan Rather to Walter Cronkite. And once that transpired some 60 years ago, it has certainly been something that's been part of American journalism when it comes to our military ever since. And unfortunately, it does politicize how we view our troops, how we view the casualties, and if it was worth it to put them in harm's way. So it is definitely something that from an ethical and business standpoint, your cohort moving throughout your careers are going to have to keep in mind. So I appreciate you sharing some insight on that, kind sir. Thank you very much.
Of course.
In the meanwhile, I'm going to go to break. There's been another Michael Bartley sighting. So we might even see a tease, a cross tease, as they say in the industry, between him and I when I come back here on News Radio KDK. All right, let me go back to the phone lines very, very quickly. And I'm going to do it with my buddy, Michael Bartley, with me, Bill and Moon. You're on KDK.
Lenny, I just want to, you know, throw in one extra thing. When you're talking to your young producer there, that's a different element, and especially the past couple of years, is that of AI and our perception of what is or is not truthful and presentation of what we see on media and the news and so on and so forth. Just knowing it's out there can create doubt about what you see. And one example I would give is if you remember the incident with Alex Cruddy, where it came out that about a week plus before he'd been involved in an incident. And I was a little hesitant at making any judgment on that until I saw something come out that his family said, yeah, he had this incident with the police, and that is him in the video. Because without any independent verification of stuff like that, if somebody's really, really good with AI, they can just put something out there that's totally not true. And that's one of the problems. And just knowing that it's out there can create doubt about what you see on media and news and so forth.
Bill, I appreciate your calling. You're absolutely correct. I mean, they've always had propaganda. They've just gotten a lot better with it because of technology. But Michael, to the point of Memorial Day...
What made you bring up AI? Because of the Pope today?
No.
Oh, okay.
He brought up AI, okay. He brought up AI because he was talking about how, as Americans, we're able to decipher the politics behind war, and then how you have to still segregate that away from remembering the people that put their lives on the
absolutely
line.
Absolutely true.
And not letting them get part of that whole political machination like we saw during the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I only asked you that Pope thing because I wanted to bring that up today. He was warning, saying AI should be regulated, all that type of stuff, because of worries about the militarization of AI, which is pretty fascinating, I think.
And I brought this up when David brought it up during the news broadcast earlier. The big three at three, the big three at the 50 of the hour. Mm-hmm. The thing that hits me as well, Michael, is the fact that, and you're a Catholic as well, it's the fact that this is a Catholic leader, obviously, but an American Catholic
leader. Yes.
And
true.
So he's going to have a completely different perspective on this that's going to be contemporized from an American standpoint that we have not heard before.
Yeah, I would say that's true, but I guess I was surprised to see it. In his, I know this is a weird word for people who aren't Catholic, but his encyclical, which is a very thoughtful theological message, you know what that all means. But yeah, I think it's worth talking about. I do, because I think overall people, the average person has qualms about AI.
Well, they do.
I do. I believe it. And I think, I don't know the true answer to this, but I think people are worried about losing jobs to AI.
That's what
all
it
that.
Is.
Yes.
That's what, and with the Pope saying something about that, Michael, remember.
He said it.
He's talking to everybody, including third world countries that count on certain jobs
yes.
to be able to lift themselves up from poverty to a better way of life. So he's looking at this as a threat that may lock future generations around the world in poverty if we're not mindful of it.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. Did you get a lot of and I want to just talk a little bit about, and thanks for the time here, Lenny.
It's all good.
I'm opening it up for folks that went to all the, and things are still going on for the Memorial Day commemorations. And how about 17,000 flags at the Cemetery of the Alleghenies? That's unbelievable.
It is.
And we have, and I'm starting at here at 12:05 in one of my favorite. We have the cutest towns and villages and boroughs, don't we?
We do.
Okay, I'm going to go to Canonsburg, where they have a huge Memorial Day parade, and I'm going to get the report there right at 12:05. And I'm going to let folks talk about what they saw. You know, the 9/11 airlift wing, those flyovers, Lenny, they give you goosebumps. They really do. I felt so badly. I normally go to Calvary every year because I speak there, but you know, I had to be here. So, but that's okay. That's okay. We're going to get everybody. You had a lot of calls today about Memorial Day
did.
Stuff.
And Michael, I gotta go to news, but we wanted you speaking to the masses in a different type of way today.
Yes, indeedy.
So just be glad you're here.
Yes, indeed.
Because we're glad you're here.
Hey, people died for our right to be here.
They did. And yep. It's very easy to forget that.
Yep.
But we shalln't do it here. In the meanwhile, I'm out of here. Michael Bartley's here for the next 5 hours.
Have a great hamburger tonight.
Hey. Say that again?
Have a great hamburger and hot dogs tonight.
I shall.
All right.
I shall do that. Michael Bartley next. I'm out of here. I will talk to you Thursday night when I'm filling in for Michael Bartley from 6 to 10. I love you, TCNGB. Take care and God bless. Peace.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.